When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
The Sensemaker.
Hello, I'm Claudia, and this is The Sensemaker from Tortoise. One story every day to make sense of the world. To find out more about Tortoise and how to become a member, take a look at the episode description. Today, why has World Swimming banned transgender women from competing in elite female competitions? And could other sports follow?
It took 4 minutes and 33 seconds for Leah Thomas to swim her way into NCAA history. With her victory in the women's 500-yard freestyle, Leah Thomas is now the first openly transgender D1 athlete to become an NCAA national champion.
U.S. swimmer and trans woman Leah Thomas says she didn't transition to win medals. She did it because she wanted to be happy. When she won the 500-meter freestyle in the U.S. College Sport Championship last March, it set off a fierce debate about sport, sex, and gender.
After following NCAA guidelines of a year of hormone therapy to change gender categories, Thomas started her senior year on the women's team. But her success in the water was met with outrage leading up to the NCAA championships. Her critics say she jumped in the rankings between the men's and the women's team.
Leah Thomas knew her win would be controversial. Before the competition in March, 16 of her teammates sent an open letter to their university and the Ivy League of 8 private research universities, calling for her to be barred from women's competitions. They said the fact she was assigned male at birth would give her an unfair physical advantage over her peers. When she eventually won, none of her fellow athletes joined her on the podium. Leah Thomas says her win was fair. Here she is talking to ESPN.
Trans women competing in women's sports does not threaten women's sports as a whole, because trans women are a very small minority of all athletes, and the NCAA rules regarding trans women competing in women's sports have been around for 10 plus years, and we haven't seen any massive wave of trans women dominating.
She wants to keep competing and to inspire other trans athletes. She told ABC she has her sights set on international championships.
It's been a goal of mine to swim at Olympic trials for a very long time, and I would love to see that through.
But new regulations might now get in the way of that.
International Swimming Federation says it's protecting the basic rights of women and girls. The federation, FINA, says transgender women who want to compete as women will now be required to have completed transition by the age of 12. In other words, the vast majority of them will be ineligible to compete in female categories.
FINA is World Swimming's governing body, and it's responsible for the eligibility criteria for international competitions, including the Olympic Games. 71% of their members voted in favour of the restrictions, which means Leah Thomas and other trans women won't be able to take part in Olympic trials. FINA's decision also means that trans women won't be able to set world records in women's swimming. No such rules were set for trans men. The restrictions won't apply to national or regional competitions, such as the NCAA or British Swimming, because they set their own rules. But experts believe there will be a knock-on effect following FINA's decision, both regionally and internationally. In fact, other sporting bodies have already followed suit.
The sport of rugby league is the latest to ban transgender players from women's international competition, adding that the decision will stand until further research is completed into the issue.
The president of World Athletics, Seb Coe, has also hinted that it might take similar measures. Here he is speaking to the BBC.
We haven't wanted to stigmatise, but when push comes to shove, if it's a judgment between inclusion and fairness, we will always fall down on the side of fairness. That, for me, is absolutely, it's non-negotiable. And the integrity of women's sport is really, really important here.
What comes to mind when you think of Amber Heard? A liar?
A survivor? A narcissist? The trial of Depp v. Heard was a global phenomenon, but I want to know, was it a fair fight? I'm Alexi Mostras, the host of Sweet Bobby and Hoaxed. In my new podcast, I'm investigating whether Amber Heard was the victim of an organised trolling campaign. The entire series is now available to binge wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Who Trolled Amber.
The science on transgender athletes is still evolving. Most sports have a testosterone cap for trans women athletes, but those who defend the new restrictions say that doesn't go far enough. Here's Dr. Michael Joyner of the Mayo Clinic speaking to ABC.
What are the physical aspects that trans women may not be able to roll back with hormone therapy?
Obviously, issues related to body size, airway size, hand size, foot size, perhaps bone density, and so forth. But I think the main thing is the interactions of exercise training and skeletal muscle.
Others have argued that physical differences exist between all women athletes, including those who are assigned female at birth. They say this shouldn't be cause for a blanket ban on trans women. Joanna Harper is a scientist at Loughborough University who's been looking at how transitioning from male to female can affect performance. Here she is speaking to the BBC.
And I think we have to be very careful with anyone who's gone through male puberty in terms of allowing them into women's sports. Certainly the data that I have seen suggests that there is a substantial performance loss with testosterone suppression. And I think that in most sports, that will be sufficient, not to eliminate all the advantages, but to ensure meaningful competition between trans women and cis women.
FINA did hint at an alternative solution. It said it would aim to establish an open category for some events to ensure that all swimmers have the chance to compete. But Joanna Harper isn't convinced that will really get to the root of the problem.
I'm not fundamentally opposed to it. I'm just not sure that there's enough athletes to create real competition, and especially in terms of team sports, trying to get enough athletes where you can have two countries, teams competing against each other. Very, very difficult.
There is no magic bullet in the debate between fairness and inclusion. But FINA's decision is a watershed, which will lead to difficult choices for other sports. Thanks for listening to The Sensemaker. Today's episode was written by Patricia Clark and mixed by Katie Gunning. Before you go, let me tell you about Kite, Tortoise's Ideas and Music Festival. This year, we were joined by Self Esteem, David Olasoga, Grace Jones, Bimini, and loads more for brilliant conversations and some joyful sing-alongs. If you want to avoid missing out on next year's festival, you can now buy super early bird tickets for Kite 2023. Go to kitefestival.co.uk/tickets now to save 25%. But you have to do it before midnight on Sunday, the 3rd of July. The Sensemaker.
Hello, I'm Jeevan Vasagar. I'm climate editor at Tortoise and host of a new podcast called Counter Crisis from the Centre for Disaster Protection, a UK government-funded international organisation which works to change how the world plans and pays for disasters. If you follow the news, you'll know that more people than ever are in need of humanitarian assistance. War and climate change are affecting millions, but the solutions haven't really kept pace. Finance is key. We saw during the pandemic that the countries that found it easiest to borrow money were the most able to respond, and not the countries that were the most affected. Across three episodes, covering disasters, the losses caused by climate change, and our response to disease outbreaks, I'm going to try and make sense of this. Why are the current ways we respond to crises inadequate? And how can we do better? I'll be speaking to experts to rethink the recovery from crisis and find out why pre-arranged finance can help get aid where it's needed. You can listen now. Search for Counter Crisis wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the feed to make sure you don't miss an episode.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.